Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is teaching through a series of messages designed to encourage, equip, and prepare us spiritually for the new year ahead. We've titled this series, Jesus, All We Need. The foundation of the Christian faith is the resurrection of Jesus, but the world still wants to perpetuate the lie that Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. Today, Pastor Brian takes us to John 20, teaching that what was true in the days of Jesus is still true today in a message called The Empty Tomb. Here's Pastor Brian.
Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Now, verse 24, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." This, of course, is John's account of the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation stone of the Christian faith. If the resurrection did not actually occur, then Christianity is a hoax. But of course, we believe that it did occur. We believe the account that we read this morning, and there are many good reasons for us to believe this. So today, we want to look at three things concerning the resurrection. The first being that the resurrection really did happen. Now, there have always been those who have denied the resurrection actually occurred. This is nothing new. People are denying it today, but it's always been the case. We read in the New Testament that the chief priest paid the soldiers to spread the rumor that the disciples came by night and stole the body of Jesus. So right from the very beginning, there has been a denial of the resurrection of Christ. James Cameron and Simca Jacobovici, the producers of a new film called The Lost Tomb of Jesus, they are the most recent or the most current in a long line of those denying the resurrection of Christ. In this film, these men claim to have discovered the family tomb of Jesus, his wife, Mary Magdalene, his mother, Mary, and his son, Judah. They claim to have discovered the bones of Jesus. implying then, of course, that the literal physical resurrection of Christ never took place. Now, before we go on to show that the resurrection really happened, let me give you just a few things in regard to this film and in regard to the claims of these men. As far as the archaeologists are concerned, as far as the experts in that field are concerned, these men have no credibility whatsoever. They are simply movie producers, and they are coming up with this sensational claim, but according to the archaeologists, there is no validity whatsoever. Let me quote to you from a couple of them. Simca has no credibility whatsoever, says Josias, who was the curator for anthropology and archaeology at the Rockefeller Museum in Jerusalem from 1972 through 1997, and personally numbered the Talpiot ossuaries. The Talpiot ossuaries are the ossuaries that contain the bones that these guys are claiming to be the bones of the family of Jesus. So here's what Josias goes on to say. He says, this man is pimping off the Bible. He's got this guy Cameron, who made the Titanic or something like that. What does this guy know about archaeology? I'm an archaeologist. Projects like these make a mockery of the archaeological profession. Now, another archaeologist, Professor Amos Kloner, the Israeli archaeologist who actually discovered this ancient burial cave 27 years ago. So this discovery was made 27 years ago by this man, Amos Kloner. He says that there is absolutely no proof to Cameron's outlandish claim. The claim that the burial site of Jesus has been found is not based on any proof and is only an attempt to sell, says Professor Kloner. A similar film was made 11 years ago. This current film is merely a renewed effort to create controversy and to make a bigger profit. I refute all claims and efforts to awaken a renewed interest in the findings. With all due respect, these men are not archaeologists. Now, here's something that I find fascinating. All of the experts in the field say this is completely bogus. There is absolutely no truth to it whatsoever. It's a fabrication on the part of these men. Yet this thing is being plastered all over the media, and everybody's now hearing that they found the tomb of Jesus. And, of course, that's just the way it is. The deception, falsehood proliferates, and the truth is ignored. You know, if there was anybody who would probably want to try to build a case that the bones of Jesus had been found, it would be a Jewish person. But yet these two men, Jewish archaeologists, not Christians, not believers in Jesus Christ, flat out deny that there is any validity whatsoever to these claims. So I want to give you five reasons why the Jesus tomb claim is bogus. You can jot these down, and I'm sure you'll have an opportunity to share some of these with some folks this week. But real quickly, five things, and then we'll move on to look at how we know the resurrection really happened. First of all, there is no DNA evidence that this is the historical Jesus of Nazareth. No DNA evidence whatsoever, not a trace of it. Secondly, the name Jesus was a popular name in the first century, appearing in 98 other tombs that have been excavated and on 21 other ossuaries. An ossuary is a little clay box in which the bones of people were placed. So 98 tombs, 21 ossuaries also have the name Jesus, a popular name in the first century among the Jews. Thirdly, it is highly unlikely that Joseph, who died earlier in Galilee, was buried in Jerusalem, since the historical record connects him only to Nazareth or Bethlehem. Fourthly, the Talpiot tomb, that's the name of the tomb, and ossuaries are such that they would have belonged to a rich family, which does not match the historical record for Jesus. And then fifth and finally, the two Mary ossuaries do not mention anyone from Magdala. Magdala, of course, was the place that Mary Magdalene was from. The two Mary ossuaries do not mention anyone from Magdala, but simply have the name Mary, one of the most common of all ancient Jewish female names. And we could go on, if we had the time, we could go on and list many more things that really show the fallacy of the arguments that are going to be put forth, but perhaps this will be helpful to you. So going back to our main point, though, the resurrection really did happen. It really happened. Now, how do we know that it really did happen? Well, a couple of ways, but first of all, we know that it really happened the same way we know anything else about the past. Those who witnessed it recorded it for us. We have eyewitness testimony to the resurrection. Now, if I told you, for example, that Alexander the Great conquered the Persians, or if I told you that Wellington defeated Napoleon at Waterloo, if I told you George Washington was the first president of the United States, would you doubt the validity of any of those statements? I'm sure you wouldn't. But what do you base your knowledge on? Well, we all base our knowledge on the written record. Somebody wrote these things down. Somebody who lived at the time wrote these things down, and they've been passed down to us as the historical record, and we accept them as valid based upon the testimony of those who saw these events. Now, the New Testament is an eyewitness account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The New Testament documents, they are historically reliable documents that give us a first-hand account of the resurrection. We just read one of those first-hand accounts here in John's Gospel this morning. Paul the Apostle was absolutely convinced of the resurrection, and he himself said that if there was no resurrection, then Christianity would be a hoax. It was Paul who said that. I heard a theologian, as I was watching some clips from this program that's going to air, I heard a theologian who was interviewed, one of these guys who is a leader in what is known as the Jesus Seminar, an extremely liberal group of guys who claim to be Christians, but in actuality are not. But he was saying something so ludicrous. He was saying, you know, even if they could prove that the bones that they've discovered are the bones of Jesus of Nazareth, he said, it wouldn't affect my faith whatsoever. Well, I can believe that because he doesn't have any faith to affect. But, you know, he's claiming, of course, to have faith in the scripture and to believe in Jesus. But he says, it wouldn't affect my faith whatsoever because it doesn't really matter if Jesus bodily rose from the dead. All that matters is that his spirit resurrected. You know, the term resurrection never refers to the spirit ever, not in any case. It always refers to the body. And Paul did not think that way at all. As a matter of fact, Paul said, if there's no resurrection, there's no Christianity. Listen to what he said in his epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 15. He said, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all, he was seen by me also as by one born out of due time. So Paul here lists for us a number of eyewitnesses to the resurrection, stating at one point 500 people saw the resurrected Christ. So Paul says the resurrection is a fact, and it's based on eyewitness testimony. Now, critics have said for years that the apostles fabricated this. And when you ask the reason why would they do such a thing, they will often say, oh, well, they did it for the money. They did it for the power. They did it for the prestige. There was no money. There was no power. There was no prestige. These men who claimed that Jesus rose from the dead, they were persecuted. They suffered intensely for those claims. I like the way one writer put it. He said, it is ludicrous to believe that the apostles willingly forfeited the comforts of life, their jobs and family, and their financial security, and instead accepted ridicule, persecution, imprisonment, torture, and in many cases, horrible deaths, all the while knowing the resurrection was a fabrication. It doesn't make any sense. If these guys fabricated the story, it doesn't make any sense that they would undergo persecution for it. It doesn't make any sense that they would be deprived and allow themselves that deprivation. It doesn't make any sense that they would go to their death holding on to something that wasn't true. It just doesn't make an ounce of sense. And so we have the scriptures. We have the historical eyewitness testimony for us in the New Testament documents. Now, let me just say one thing about the New Testament documents. If the New Testament documents are not valid, then no piece of ancient literature is valid, because there is more corroborative support for the New Testament than any other piece of ancient literature, and it so far outweighs it that it's not even comparable. So somebody might say, you can't trust those documents. You just simply say to them, if you can't trust the New Testament, you can't trust anything that's come to us from antiquity, because they are the most easily substantiated, and the numbers of documents far exceed the documents for any other topic in antiquity. So we have the eyewitness testimony. This is how we know the resurrection really happened. But secondly, we have millions of personal encounters with the resurrected Christ resulting in transformed lives that we could analyze all throughout history. Millions and millions of lives that have been transformed through an encounter with the living Christ. Now, this is unique to Christianity. I don't know if you realize this or not, but did you know that in every other religion, the vast majority of adherents were not converted to that religion, but were born into that religion? Christianity is the only religion in the world where every true Christian is a convert. There's nobody who's born a Christian. Now, you might have been born into a Christian family, but you know that there's a point in your life where you have to make a personal decision. You have to confess that you're a sinner and receive Christ. It doesn't matter that you were born into a family where your parents are Christians or your grandparents are Christians. You have to have your own personal conversion experience. That is not true in the rest of the religions in the world. The vast majority of adherents are simply born into that religious system. You do have a few converts here and there. I'm not denying that there are converts, but the vast majority are people that are born into it, where with the Christian faith, every true Christian is a convert. Every true Christian has a testimony. Every true Christian can talk about a transformation that has occurred in their life through an encounter with the living Christ. I think of somebody like John Newton. John Newton is most famous for having written the hymn that everybody knows, the hymn Amazing Grace. But what a lot of people don't know about John Newton is that he was formerly a slave trader. He was the captain of a slave ship. And as you read his biography, as you read the story of his life, you see that he was a wicked man. He was a cruel man. He was a greedy man. And he had an encounter with the living Christ that transformed his life. He renounced his past. He renounced the slave trade, and he became one of the major players in the effort to abolish slavery throughout the British Empire. They've recently done a movie about William Wilberforce called Amazing Grace, talking about the abolition of slavery. I didn't like the portrayal of Newton in there. I didn't think it was historically that accurate the way they presented him. But the facts are he had a tremendous conversion experience. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's what he was, indeed. He was a wretch. I think of somebody like C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis was a brilliant atheistic scholar. And he had no sympathies toward Christianity whatsoever. He would argue against Christianity. And yet he has this point in his life where he has an encounter. He describes in his testimony, he describes this encounter that he has with Jesus Christ that so radically convinces him that Jesus is true, that he's risen from the dead, that C.S. Lewis renounces his atheism and becomes a Christian. But he said that that was the last thing he wanted to do, but he was compelled by the overwhelming evidence and the presence of Christ himself. And he stated in his testimony he was the most reluctant convert in England because he never wanted to be a Christian, but he couldn't help it. When he met the Lord, all of his arguments and everything else just vanished. A more recent example. I mentioned this young man a few weeks ago. I quoted from one of his songs, Johnny Lang, a young prodigy on the guitar at the age of 15, began touring with the Rolling Stones, toured with Aerosmith, toured with U2, two platinum albums, a solid alcoholic in his teens, involved in drugs and, you know, all of the other things that come along with that rock and roll lifestyle. But he has an encounter with the living Christ. And he meets the Lord, and the encounter is so powerful, it completely turns his life around. And his most recent album is called Turn Around. And there he tells his testimony on that album and shares the gospel in such a powerful way. But what's the explanation for that? Here's a guy, he's young, he's only 25 now, he's at the top of the pack in his profession. He's still got a whole lifetime ahead of him. He could go so far, but yet he comes to a place of renouncing it all. The only way to explain that, the best way to explain that, is an encounter with the living Christ. And we could go on and on and on. Phil 20 just showed me this morning on the internet, after the first service, the testimony of a woman who for the past 30 years or so has been one of the leading advocates of homosexuality within the black community. And he showed me on the website now this morning, she's got her testimony, and she's got 10 steps to becoming a Christian that she's sharing with everybody that will tune in and listen. See, these are powerful proofs, undeniable proofs. And we could go on and on with the testimonies. Testimonies from Jewish rabbis, testimonies from Buddhist monks, testimony from Hindu Brahmins, testimony from Muslim mullahs that have all left their faith that they were born into and adhered to and followed and have become followers of Jesus. Why? Because they met him, the resurrected Christ. And so you find nothing like this in any other religion. The resurrection really happened. We have the documents, the historical documents, and the changed lives to prove it.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures, remembering that Jesus is all we need. But if you missed any part of this study, or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called The Empty Tomb, and the resource number is OBB462. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Our God, you reign. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.